Do you remember when you were a kid and just how much you couldn't wait to grow up? I mean, there were those milestones that you looked forward to, those times when you were certain if you could just make it to a certain age, that magical age, you'd be as happy as you could ever dream to be. For me, that started with turning 10. Walton, you're halfway there. Not only would I be in double digits, which seemed totally legit and cool, but then I was allowed to get my ears pierced. And this seemed like a very grown-up thing to do. I mean, I was going to get to punch holes in my body and then choose which decorations to wear every day. I was thrilled. Even if it meant that I had to, like, clean those wounds twice a day for several weeks, I was ecstatic. But 10 turned out to be nothing compared to 16. Oh, man, did I want to drive. I mean, I wanted to go places without my parents. I wanted to experience the freedom of the open road. I wanted that feeling of control and flexibility that came with being able to get myself from place to place. I couldn't wait to turn 16. To take that driver's test, to receive that little plastic card with your face on it that said I was a legal driver in the state of Louisiana. The card that said I was almost an adult. Well, finally, 2002 came, and I turned 16, and I did, in fact, pass my driver's test. But it wasn't that great emancipating moment that I thought it would be. It wasn't like I had my own car, so I was still coordinating with my parents everywhere I went, school, work, soccer practice. And I quickly found out that being able to drive meant that I was going to do other things as well, like pick up my father's dry cleaning or take my grandmother to the bank each week. And what I thought would be this liberating life goal was in fact just a mile marker of maturity and an increase in responsibility, although I still love to drive. And as followers of Jesus, I'm afraid that sometimes we get caught up in this way of thinking more often than we realize. We sort of get swept up in the notion that there are these plateaus along the journey of discipleship, and that once we reach those places, we've made it. We can rest because we've arrived where God wants us, where we'll be blessed and encouraged, and all we really have to do is put life into cruise control, autopilot, and just kind of coast on into eternity. But then we hear words from Jesus that call us into a deeper, more mature faith. We hear words from Jesus that call us to more responsibility in the kingdom of God. Like the words we've just heard in Jesus' Sermon on the Mount from the 5th chapter of the Gospel of Matthew. And last week, we heard the opening words to the Sermon on the Mount, the Beatitudes, these words of encouragement, words that speak of blessings, especially upon those who aren't used to being blessed. And it's the reminder that we're all blessed, all invited to participate in God's kingdom. And then verse 13 shifts Jesus' sermon into a different gear. Jesus says, "You are the salt of the earth. But if salt has lost its taste, how can its saltiness be restored? It's no longer good for anything, but is thrown out and trampled underfoot." Salt. We're all salt. And if you think about it, salt is a really amazing mineral. It enhances the flavor, of our favorite foods. It acts as a preservative. It melts the ice on frozen steps and frozen roads. Luckily, not something we test around here. And it was of such great value that in the ancient world it was sometimes used as currency. In fact, the word salary comes from the practice of paying workers with salt. And in biblical times, salt was so very important. People back then didn't have refrigerators, and we didn't have machines that made ice, and so salt was so important to preserving food. They preserved vegetables. They would preserve their fish for the winter by salting them and drying them out. Even when they birthed new babies, they would wash their children in salt water for medicinal purposes. That salt water was thought to preserve the baby's life. And in biblical times, they often said that a man's life was as valuable as a bag of salt. And when they offered their cereal offerings in the temple, the Jews always put some salt on the cereal so that offering, it wouldn't mold and it wouldn't rot. Salt was a symbol of preservation of life. And if you don't have salt, all you were left with was decay. So it was so important to understand that salt and preserving life went hand in hand. And Jesus said, "You are the salt of the earth. You and you and you and you and you, we are the salt of the earth, preservers of life." And in biblical times, salt was also a healing agent. Wars were fought with bows and arrows, spears and swords, and there was a lot of cutting in warfare. And so if you were wounded, you would rub salt into the wound. It was very sharp, and it hurt like I don't want to imagine. But you needed it to experience healing. This was part of the way you treated the wound. And Jesus said, "You must be sharp like the salt of the earth. You are to heal others." And sometimes in ancient times, just like now, people cheated other people. And there are stories of people who went to the market to get their salt, to preserve their fish, or whatever they were trying to keep. But when they returned home, realized that the vendor had mixed their salt with white sand. This bad salt, diluted salt, weak salt, it was worthless. You can't separate the salt from the sand. And so all you can do is throw the bad salt out in the garbage with the camel dung. And Jesus said, "You are the salt of the earth. And if you've lost your saltiness, I might as well throw you out with the camel dung." Salt is a pretty amazing thing when it's used. When it isn't used, when it's gotten mixed with sand, when it's somehow lost its taste, or when it's just salt all by itself, alone, it isn't much good for anything. In fact, salt by itself can be quite terrible, corrosive even. And being the salt of the earth, it implies that we have some function to perform, some responsibility in this kingdom which Jesus speaks of. Being the salt of the earth, it isn't about being something great and wonderful on our own. It's about being the ones who bring out the great and wonderful things of God's kingdom to others. Jesus' metaphor of salt for us in this day and age can be a little confusing, but I think it clears things up pretty well in the three verses that follow. "You are the light of the world. A city built on a hill cannot be hid. No one, after lighting a lamp, puts it under a bushel basket, but up on the lampstand, where it gives light to all in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father in heaven. Light. We as Christians are to be the light of Christ. And what does light do? When we see light in the sky, it's a symbol of hope, of renewal, of guidance in the world. We are to be the light of Christ. Our lives are to be an inspiration to the lives of others around us. Our lives are to be like a beacon that shows people the way, like a lighthouse guiding other people's lives through nasty storms. We are to be a guide for people's lives. We are to be the light of Christ in the world. We are light. And light, like salt, is pretty amazing, so long as it's illumining something else. And that's why Jesus says that we're to let our light shine before others, not ourselves, so that those may see our good works and give glory not to us, but to God. It's subtle, but it's so very important. We shine as the light of the world, not for our own sake, but for the sake of others. We give light so that others may see the way of God. In the end, it really isn't our light that shines forth at all. It's God's light. Salt and light are only useful when they enhance something else. As long as we see the life of faith as little more than a promised future, a promise of a reward, a future rest for a chosen few, we lose our flavor and our light is hidden under a basket. We, as followers of Jesus, we fulfill our roles as disciples when we flavor the earth, when we illuminate the world with our actions and our words that ultimately point to Christ. So let us go forth with a salty luminescence. Let us go forth as salt and light. Let us enhance and shine this love of God to all we see. Amen.